Welcome back to Speakeasy with Seth and Scott. My name is Seth.
And my name is Scott. Welcome to the Speakeasy.
Hello, hello. Just so everybody knows, I have an ouchie on the end of my tongue, and it's really annoying me.
You have an ouchie?
I have an ouchie.
What kind of an ouchie? How'd you get an ouchie on the end of your tongue?
You know, like a little, it's a tiny little cut. But I find it to be the most annoying thing on planet Earth.
How did you get a tiny little cut on your tongue?
I don't know, I probably nicked it while I was eating something. You've never, ever, ever nicked your tongue or the inside of your cheek?
I've occasionally, like, bit my tongue.
Or if you bite your tongue? Okay, yeah. It's annoying, right? Because you just have this little annoying cut that doesn't really hurt, but you can just feel it constantly.
I don't know. I heal super quick, so.
All right, you're Superman. No one, you never have any problems. How's your week going?
You know, I worked all week. Good as for always. You.
As always, as typical. We are doing this once again at 2 in the morning. Maybe one day you'll stop making me do this at 2
in the
morning.
Well, I don't even know what day it is at this point.
It's Sunday, Monday.
Is it? And I guess Monday, maybe?
Sunday, Monday, I have to look at a calendar.
I don't know. Days just bleed into days when you never get a day off.
Well, you'll get a day off soon, and you also had a day off last week.
Yeah,
so don't,
I did.
Don't be pretending like you're in
the
stocks.
Yeah, I did, but it was St. Patrick's Day, and I drank all damn day.
You're not a miner, man. You're not down in the caves.
I drank all damn day. St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. That was your decision. You're an adult.
I know, but I needed some relief.
Relief? Why?
Well, from working, like, every day for 2 months.
So you partied hard. Partied harder than Ed Hardy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know Ed Hardy, so I don't know how Hardy parties.
Do you think Ed Hardy parties hard?
He might, honey hands.
I did pitch that. We should talk. We are drinking the Bee's Knees tonight.
The Bee's Knees.
Bee's Knees being one of my favorite white guy phrases.
This is part of our martini series because technically it's a martini.
Technically it's a martini. I didn't know that. But damn, I love saying bee's knees.
You want a little history on the bee's knees?
Darcy, if that isn't just the bee's knees. Yeah, I would love some history on the bee's knees. I will, I'll tell you an incident after. Tell us what's behind the story.
The bee's knees is a Prohibition era cocktail featuring gin, lemon, and honey. Unique name is convention. Yeah, we're going to have to cut that out.
I'm not going to.
The unique name is a convention of time. The phrase bee's knees was a popular slang used to call something excellent or outstanding in the 20s.
Excellent or outstanding.
This drink was made by Frank Meyer, an Austrian-born bartender who plied his trade at the Hotel Ritz Paris in the 20s.
Ritz Paris. The Ritz-Carlton in Paris.
I don't know if it was the Ritz-Carlton at that
Putting time. Putting on the Ritz.
I don't know when the Ritz and the Carltons got together.
Putting on the
Ritz. That was probably later on.
It might have been.
I'm thinking.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz.
Is that where that song came from?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I learned it in middle school choir class.
So it's just gin? It's very gin forward.
It's very. I wouldn't call this the bee's knees. It's not the bee's knees. It's good.
It's refreshing.
It's very refreshing. I think it's actually referring to the fact that a bee stings. Because it kind of stings a little bit. It's very gin forward. It's very lemony. There is 2 ounces of gin in this, 1 ounce of lemon juice, and a 1/2 ounce of honey syrup, which is just equal parts honey and water, similar to simple syrup.
And, We used a London Dry.
Yes.
Beefeater. Now, you can use a more modern herbal gin, like the Botanist. And that'll bring out more of the honey and lemon flavor.
Oh, we should have done that then. We have a botanical gin. We have several on hand.
Yeah, we've got Empress.
We have Monkey 47.
Yeah.
I think we have some Bombay somewhere.
That bottle looks empty.
That bottle's not empty. It's full as can be. Mm. And I have, I've had a splash of Milagro tequila for many months now. And I don't know what to do with it.
Finish that off.
I might throw it somewhere.
Okay. Got a lot of empty bottles up there.
Well, yeah, I just haven't thrown a lot of them out. I don't know why, but I feel bad about throwing away alcohol bottles. I like alcohol bottles.
Well, you should recycle.
Well, you know what I've been thinking of doing?
What?
And this is very white girl of me, but I've been thinking about making candles out of them. Because you can get them super hot, right?
Yeah.
You can, like, torch the outside, draw a line, and then torch the outside, put it in cold water, pop off the top.
Yeah.
Then you can fill it full of wax.
Yeah.
Because some of these bottles look cool as fuck.
Just wear your safety glasses.
I'll wear safety glasses. I have several.
And cut gloves.
But some of these would make cool candles. The Milagro would be a cool candle. The Bombay would.
It would.
I don't know what I did with it, but you have that one. I can't ever remember what it's called that has that really long neck. It kind of looks like a genie's lamp.
Woodford Reserve?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that got thrown away.
I hope not. I like that.
Pretty sure it got thrown away.
And then, yeah, that'd be a cool-ass candle.
That would be a very cool-ass candle.
Yeah. So, what do you think about that idea?
Candle making?
Candle making. I could be a candle maker. Seth, the candle maker.
You could be a whiskey bottle candle maker.
Yeah. Today, our objective, we don't have to do it now, but our objective throughout the rest of the episode is to come up with a nickname for me, a permanent stage name.
Well, I thought we had Honey Hands.
So on the table is Seth Honey Hands.
Because you got honey on your hand.
Because I got honey on my hand.
When you were making the honey simple syrup.
And that was the stupidest joke I've ever made.
I just made fun of you for it.
I got honey on my hands. So that's what's writing.
Yeah, my hand got sticky.
Or I could be...
I got honey hand.
Or I could go with the title. I could be the candle maker. That's a little ostentatious, though.
Well.
We'll just keep that. By the end of this episode, that's our goal. We got to come up with a solid nickname for him.
I'm thinking Jeff.
Jeff?
Yeah.
I will never change my name to Jeff.
Jeff.
It's been memed too much.
So we went to...
That name is a joke.
Hank Honeyhand, and then decided that was more of a porn name.
It really seemed like a porn name, Hank Honeyhand.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I don't know. We'll come up with something.
We'll figure it out. We have the whole episode. So this is what we're doing. We're drinking it. Did I say what was in this drink? It's lemon. Yes, I did. I explained what was in honey syrup and all that stuff.
It's gin, honey syrup, and
it's so
lemon.
Late. I'm so wired right now. Yeah. My skin, it feels like it's 100 degrees.
Well, this is my time because I've been off work for 2 hours now and I'm like ultra peaked.
You're in the zone and I'm you know, that's good for you. I do. Do I have a fever? Put your hand on my forehead quick.
You're a little sweaty.
I feel like I'm on fire.
But you're not hot. You're a little moist.
And I don't feel like feverish. I feel like I'm on fire like you just got
There's
done running
nickname.
In the sun.
There's your nickname.
What?
Moist head.
Moist. I reject that fully. And I've had many nicknames in the past, so I'm picky about it. In high school, I was stepdad.
What's wrong with the moist
stepdad
head?
A lot. Ass eater. That's been thrown around. I feel like that's more bullying.
Well, yeah, kind of.
I'll take it.
Do you eat a lot of ass?
I mean, I've been known to. I've been known. Well, but that's besides the point.
If you're comfortable with that, you go for it.
And then in wrestling, I once was called Honey Ham because the coach saw ham and immediately went to Honey Ham.
See, in wrestling, I was Sam the Man Cunningham.
Well, good for you. You got a cool superhero nickname, and I was Honey Ham.
Seth
I was a
Honeyham.
Type of ham. That's a product, by the way. That's
Honey
actual,
Ham is a thing.
And I like Honey Ham. Not that much.
Well, you know, it's okay.
On sandwiches, truly, I'm more of a I'm a fatty meats guy. I like those cured meats. Give me some
like
fucking salami, dude. Give me some pastrami, some
prosciutto,
salami, some Genoa.
Gabagoo.
Some gabbit. That's not a thing.
That is a thing.
Gabagoo. Get it. Park and put it on there. Whatever it is.
There's Capricola.
Capricola, fucking throw that on there. Lots of mozzarella, whatever you fucking want. Italian, anytime I have ever got a sub sandwich,
how about meatball sub?
Sort. I'm not a fan.
Well, you can be, that's your nickname, meatball sub.
I don't like meatball subs. Do you like meatball subs, Jonathan?
Meatball subs aren't too bad.
They get wet.
They get, like, wet and soggy right
there
away.
There you go. You heard it from Jonathan. Meatball subs aren't too bad.
I'm really thank you for that opinion. That was so valued. Such
meatball
an interesting deep take.
Meatball subs aren't too bad.
Jonathan's hanging out. He has a hernia. He has a hole in his stomach.
I'd rather take a meatball sub than a...
And you're trying to eat meat. What? Why do you like... Do you like meatball subs?
I haven't had one in, like, years.
I'd rather just have spaghetti and meatballs with mozzarella.
Well, unless they've come up with some new meatball sub thing, I don't really I'm not craving one. I've never craved a meatball sub.
Why not?
I don't know. Just
I've had them.
They're okay.
I just never am satisfied.
Quote Jonathan, meatball subs are okay.
What do you guys get when you go to Subway?
The Italians. The spicy Italian.
I don't go to Subway.
Why don't you go to Subway?
Because their bread's like plastic.
Okay, what do you get at... Technically, it's a sweet, but what do you get at Jimmy John's?
I read an article where their bread was like plastic.
No, I've made the I made an incorrect statement on the show before that it's classified as a dessert. It's not true. In Ireland, it was decided that it has too much sugar content to be considered bread, and therefore it can't be taxed as bread.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I still don't go to Subway.
Because apparently...
You know why I don't go to Subway?
What, because of Jared Fogle?
Because, no, they come out, you see this commercial...
I stopped going to Subway for a few months after that.
Well, I would...
So did I.
Careful there. So, you see the commercial on TV for Subway, and they have this amazing-looking sandwich. And then you go to Subway and you order that because you're like, oh, that looks really good. And then they're like, well, what do you want on it? I'm like, well, I want what was in the commercial.
That's any fast food, any restaurant at all.
You go to McDonald's, you get a McDouble, you see it on TV, it looks good. And then you got, ugh.
The Big Mac has never looked like a Big Mac, ever. It looks like a sloppy pile of buns and meat.
Please.
And lettuce. And lettuce.
There's been many a time I've gone to McDonald's and gotten a Big Mac.
It has never looked like it did. Because it's...
And I pull it out of the box, and it looks better than the picture.
TikTok has revealed this to us, because a lot of people who are behind the scenes on this stuff.
That was back in 83.
All of this stuff is fake. Like the pictures you see of the Big Mac.
Well, yeah, it's not even food.
Yeah, that's taped and glued together to look.
But when they can make it and it looks just like it did in the picture,
you want to hear how to make your own Big Mac? You order
pull that mic away from your mouth a little bit.
Talk at a normal tone.
Oh, my bad. You can order a Big Mac, right?
Yeah.
But instead of the Big Mac, ask for 2 quarter-pound patties. That's a Big Mac.
2 quarter-pound patties?
Yeah.
Or you ask for a double quarter-pounder with cheese, add lettuce, mac sauce.
And one more bun. Bam!
Yeah, who needs the third bun?
I like the third bun. I'm a third bun guy. I famously only get the double quarter-pounder.
There's a lot of hacks in there where you can get a Big Mac.
A third bun guy?
You can get a quarter-pounder Big Mac cheaper than it. I don't know. Anyway, so I don't go to Subway. I will go to Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's is good. The bread's tougher. I like Subway's bread better.
Well, I like the crusty bread.
I do like it, but sometimes it's too tough. Now, you don't have TMJ, so...
No, you do, so...
My jaw, I think, is trying to kill me.
You have a bird jaw. There's your nickname, bird jaw.
I do not want to be called Seth Birdjaw Cunningham.
Yeah, see, your bird jaw.
When I go to Subway, what I do is they hate me every time I go to Subway because I get 12-inch make your own on Italian herbs and cheese, and then I get steak, rotisserie chicken, grilled chicken, ham, salami.
Does that cost $67?
$22.17.
Good Lord!
You're spending $22 on a Subway sandwich.
I'm never sending you money again.
It has all the meats. I only do Subway like every 2 months because it's my protein build. Because it has all the meats that Subway has.
Now your big one is Domino's, though.
See, now if you're doing that, Subway should pony up and go, all right, we're gonna make a sandwich called Jonathan's All the Meats.
They should name a sandwich after you.
The All the Meats.
Subway,
all meat
if
supreme.
You're listening. Jonathan, all the meats.
All the meats. You should get a deal with Arby's instead.
And well, you could.
I get the Meat Mountain every 3 months.
Well, that's your new nickname, All the Meats.
No, you're Meat Mountain. I think that's way better.
Yeah.
You have the mountain from Game of Thrones. Jonathan.
All right, settle down, Bird John, all the meats.
I kind of like Milkman better.
Milkman?
Yeah.
Why do you think you deserve the monochrome
because
Milkman?
I used to lactate when I took testosterone.
Why were you taking testosterone? You look like Bruce Willis already.
For the gym and for my libido.
Your libido? You are the only 20-year-old I know that takes Blue Chew.
It works.
Well, you shouldn't need it.
I don't think he does.
It makes the milk lovely, dude.
Well, you know, if you bang a hot girl, you don't need it.
And we're not talking about that because we're not sponsored by them, and I won't have it. We will not give them any attention.
No.
I know we talk about soap movies so much on this show, but I needed to talk about this because I fucking loved this movie as a kid. And it's an Adam Sandler movie, and people don't really ever expect Adam Sandler. I don't know if he's ever made a sequel. Has he ever made a sequel to any of his, except for Grown Ups? You have stopped listening.
I'm pulling up my page on this.
Well, you chill out over there with your pulling up pages. Okay, so they're making another Happy Gilmore, allegedly.
Well, okay, so...
Allegedly.
So Christopher McDonald...
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, Shooter McGavin. Which was a great role for him.
The best role he's ever played, in my opinion.
And
he is a phenomenal actor, but Shooter McGavin is the best character ever.
With the guns. Pew, 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 pew. So he was doing an interview, and he revealed that Adam Sandler got a hold of him, or saw him out, and he said, "Hey, you're going to love this," and handed him the first draft of Happy Gilmore 2.
And did you like it?
Apparently. He's very excited about it. We don't know if it's going to go anywhere. It's Adam Sandler, so I'm pretty sure they'll redo it, because Happy Gilmore made tons of money.
That's the beautiful thing about Adam Sandler, is he started Happy Madison. So that, one, he could give all of his friends jobs.
Hmm? Billy Madison.
No, Happy Madison is the name of his movie studio.
Happy, yeah.
Oh.
Billy Madison is the name of one of his other amazing fucking funny movies.
So his two biggest hits, he just combined the names and made his... production company.
Yeah. He made a production company. One, he's able to give all of his friends jobs.
Yeah.
So even if they aren't actively working on a movie, they can always afford to pay, you know, feed their family, have the homes.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Rob Schneider. Lewis. Everyone knows Rob Schneider, David Spade, the like.
Louise Guzman.
Well, Louise Guzman's been in everything.
He's been in every movie ever. He's not even just Adam Sandler.
I think he's actually in every movie.
He might be. He might. If there's anyone who is... Most of them are extras, but he's there. Yeah. Actually, that's a fun Hollywood fact that you don't know. Louise Guzman's in every movie
he's
since 1963.
Yeah. He was in Oppenheimer.
He was in Oppenheimer.
Yeah. He was in Dune.
Yeah, he plays the bomb.
There's this one movie Adam Sandler made a few years ago. I think it was last year. It's called You're Not Invited to My Bar Mitzvah. It's got all of his daughters in it and their friends. And it's about, like, this girl who doesn't become friend, who breaks up with her one friend, and then there's, like, this big old thing. It's the stupidest fucking movie I've ever seen.
But I'm a really big fan of Adam Sandler. He has one life. He has found a way to go on amazing vacations in five-star hotels with all of his friends and his kids and his family, and it all gets paid for, because while they're on vacation, he just makes one of the fucking funniest movies of all time, every time.
He's Jewish, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
I think he's a practicing Jewish person.
Well, he did come out with the song, the Hanukkah song.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just fucking love Adam Sandler. His movies are hilarious. But I really hope they make another Happy Gilmore.
I kind of like his dramatic work.
I think people like it so much because it's so different from what he does.
Uncut Gems.
But I don't. Uncut Gems
was
amazing.
A great movie.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. I wouldn't say amazing.
I really think it's amazing.
Kind of like I wouldn't say a meatball sub's amazing.
I wouldn't either, but I do think Uncut Gems is amazing.
It's good.
I just don't think people appreciate Adam Sandler enough. Like, his movies have been so funny. He's able to do so much good for just his friends and family. And then also, I've watched a lot of his movies back. Like, I like... Do you have to cough or something? You're looking at me like you want me to stop talking.
No, I can hear my breath in the mic.
Then stop breathing.
I pushed it a little...
You can't just stop.
I have a noise gate up. They won't hear you.
Okay.
You're good. I got this under control.
All right. All right. What were you saying?
I was talking about Adam Sandler. May I continue?
Yes,
I love him. Anyway.
Yes, you may, honey hands.
I love watching 2000s movie comedies, because that's what I grew up on. I was very in that. The problem I have with it is so many, and even I like comedies in general, so many comedies that are older than 10 years old are a little problematic. Revenge of the Nerds.
That wasn't that bad.
He rapes a girl.
Who? What movie?
Well,
Revenge of the Nerds. Dude, he dresses up in the same costume that a girl's boyfriend is in so that she thinks that he is her boyfriend, and then she consents to having sex with her boyfriend, and it's a different dude who she doesn't like and is not attracted to. That's rape!
Ouch.
I gotta get loud sometimes. I gotta get loud sometimes so that people stay engaged.
He's got a point. That is technically rape.
Okay, but if she...
Not even technically, that's straight up rape.
He was like this little tiny nerdy guy, and her boyfriend was like this huge jock
guy. Yeah, and you're supposed to feel bad for him because he's a little nerd. And
so if she can't tell the difference in their height, because her boyfriend's like a full foot taller
than
this
guy. Well, it was a movie, and he was doing Darth Vader, so he was probably wearing razors. He was probably wearing, you know, high rises.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think she just knew, and she was like, I'm just going to play along with this.
Oh, so that's fucking disgusting opinion. And everyone cancel Scott Cunningham.
Oh, come on.
Everyone cancel Scott Cunningham.
He's a full, at least 8 inches shorter than this guy, and she can't tell.
Dude, you see the movie. He obviously does. They look the exact same when they're doing it.
Wow. I don't know about that.
They probably had the same guy do it so that they would get rid of that. Anyway.
It was probably
a lot of these comedy movies are problematic. And I've watched a lot of Adam Sandler movies. They really don't, like, ever rely on, like, racist or sexist tropes.
Well, I mean, if you want to go there...
He's just funny to be funny. Like, he's just, like, a lot of his stuff is just... The funniness is how, like, just silly the situation is and how stupid he is in almost all of his movies.
Oh, yeah.
No one else is usually the joke. He's the butt of the joke, and that's why I think it works so well.
It does. But if you want to go into, like, that kind of thing, like, I think it was a John Hughes film.
A lot of John Hughes films were problematic. You're talking about 16 Candles?
Yeah.
Yeah, with, I forget Anthony the character's
Michael
name.
Anthony Michael Hall?
Yeah. Well, one, yeah, Anthony Michael Hall, who I love. He's so good. He sexually assaults a girl in that movie.
Yes,
and
he does.
It has one of the most...
A drunk girl.
Yeah, a drunk, straight up date rapes a girl, like... Gets her drunk and he doesn't get her drunk, but she is drunk, and then he takes advantage of her.
And her boyfriend totally sets the whole thing up.
And it's like, go on, man. Tight.
Yeah.
The whole thing about all of these movies is they're all geeks in these movies.
Yeah, true.
Which is, it's scary to think that it's the geeks mainly that are raping all these girls. And
it's not.
They probably play Dungeons and Dragons and...
It is pretty much, and it makes all the other guys look like fucking douchebags. You know?
Well, I mean, yeah, those movies could not be made today that way.
No, and I don't know if they should be. They were funny for the time, and I'm glad people got enjoyment out of them. But I think we as a society have just grown. In my opinion, as a society, we're in our 30s now.
Yeah,
we're in our 30s. We're starting to be like, all right, maybe we really should pay attention to what we're saying. We're overcorrecting sometimes.
So did those movies like? Because you never heard of date rape before that. Did those movies spur that into existence?
They brought the attention that shit actually
happens.
Bring
it to light that it does happen.
They might have brought it to light.
Or helped.
I think, you know, it's been a whole fucking 20-year movement kind of thing.
Were guys your age watching that movie, you know?
As a kid, I was watching those movies.
Yeah, and you're that's okay.
No. I was watching those movies as a kid being like, I don't know about that.
You weren't that woke.
I was a little woke as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I was a Christian, but a good Christian.
Okay.
Not a hateful Christian.
All right.
Not
hateful
a proselytizing.
Christian, woke,
not a
hands,
proselytizing Christian.
Bird jaw.
You're just going to use all the nicknames. So so your strategy is to just keep stacking nicknames.
Pretty much, right?
Why can't I be called Hot Hands Cunningham?
Because you don't have hot hands.
Right now I do. I'm sweating. Look how bad I'm sweating
your
right now.
Your forehead is moist.
My forehead is moist. My hair's wet.
Why is your forehead so wet?
You're kind of sweaty.
My, like, arms are sweaty.
Sweaty Cunningham.
Am I having a heart attack? Is this what a heart attack is?
No, because you're going to be having it from 7 o'clock at night to now.
That's a good point. Maybe it's just hot.
I think
in
it's
here.
Just because it's so damn hot in here.
Maybe it's just... But you guys don't look like you're struggling. I'm falling apart right now.
I'm doing all right.
I feel like I'm a late night talk show host and it's like going really bad and I'm like in my swoop and I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh, next up.
Now, speaking of late night talk show hosts.
Oh, you're going to talk about the movie.
I have to.
I didn't think we were talking about that one today.
Well,
I love it. I have to watch it.
We have to go see it.
The reviews are so good. And I fall in love with this actor.
Now, you said the Rotten Tomatoes score's out.
I think so. The critic, I read a lot of reviews on it. I don't give a fuck about Rotten Tomatoes.
It's called Late Night with the Devil. So it's about a 70s late night TV show host.
I got you covered.
My computer is...
Don't worry, Seth.
Oh, that's because I had the control button.
The star is David Dastmalchian.
He's really been on... He's a guy who, for the last two to four years, has been consistently in movies. But it's just been kind of like a side character who's kind of funny or kind of weird.
Yeah, he was in both Dune movies. He played a Mentat.
Mm-hmm. And he was also in Suicide Squad. He played Polka Dot Man.
He was in Batman. He was in Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, I think, is his biggest role as to date because he played Borden.
Yeah.
Who literally invented the H-bomb,
He played William Borden, who was head of the NSA.
Okay, well, same. All right, well, William Borden, who did pen a letter that was against Oppenheimer. He played a big role in that.
He also was in the movie Prisoners with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, he's just been in just about every great movie lately.
Yeah, but he's just been that kind of side character. This is the first time I think we've seen him. Sorry, what were you saying?
He's a good, eerie character. He's an eerie guy. That's what I like about him.
He's very tall, and he's just got this striking look about him.
He has this kind of haunting, but kind of nervous, kind of feel.
Right?
That just I think this guy is the next, big star. I haven't seen this movie yet, but my prediction, just seeing the trailer, is that this is, the next big horror movie, and this guy becomes a star.
I normally don't like horror movies, but I want to go see this one.
Yeah.
I'm
not a horror movie guy, but this looks really interesting. I like the concept of it.
It looks great.
Go into the concept. We haven't gone too much into it. I really like the late night concept, the late night talk show.
So it's a late night talk show. It's got the brown and orange set like they had back then. You're mopping your head.
Why would you say that? Don't mop head. At me.
You're a mop head. That's your new nickname.
There's been a lot of controversy with this movie.
Hold on, I just want to state that me proposing we come up with a nickname has become Dad just bullying me. Just straight up dunking on me any chance he gets.
Yeah, be quiet, mophead.
Hey, the...
Be quiet over there, mophead.
Yeah, there's a lot of good reviews on this movie, and it's got, I think, 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, but there's been a lot of backlash due to the AI criticism. Because they use a lot of AI in this movie, and I guess... People weren't really uptight with it. We're really uptight with it. People were boycotting the film.
AI.
Yeah, there's AI generated scenes in this movie.
Hmm. I don't know. I didn't think AI was that good enough that they would put it in a movie.
But it's
it's probably AI generated scenes that were went in and edited by a person.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I've seen some of the scenes from it, and the little girl who's possessed by the devil, her face just kind of takes demon form. So, I just figured that was CGI. But I guess you could use AI to create.
It's kind of like if Creepshow was to be remade today. That's what this movie is. If they were to go back to 1962, remake Creepshow, and then...
Well, apparently,
that's what this is.
Apparently, there's some backstory to this, because when the devil comes out of the girl, he goes, "It's good to see you again." Like this guy may have made a deal with the devil to get this talk show.
Yeah, there's a lot of I'm not spoiling anything because I haven't even seen the movie, but no. I know his wife has died just based off of the thing. Like his wife died recently, from what I've read. So that could be playing into it. I'm very interested. I do not like horror movies, and not because they're scary, because they're just dumb. They're bad movies.
Normally they are, but this one looks really good.
And this one just looks... I like interesting concepts and things that are new. I don't like to see the same mockumentary fucking horror movie. A group of fucking stupid teens go into the woods and some crazy shit. I'm tired of seeing the same fucking thing. Show me some cool horror movies.
Yeah, and this one looks cool.
The only horror movie I've seen that I've liked before this was As Above, So Below, which is about
people
trying.
It's so fucked. They're trying to like go into the catacombs of Paris and like figure out what's happening there. And that's kind of a cool concept. But like so many of them fall short. They're just stupid. They're just dumb and predictable and fucking stupid.
So yeah, I really want to see this one.
This one looks interesting. Like it's actually gonna. I like things that actually creep me out a little bit.
And I really didn't know who this actor was until I learned he's actually friends with a coworker.
Yeah, you have a buddy who worked with him, who knows him.
He went to acting school in Chicago with him.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then I started watching some YouTube videos on the guy, and there's one called Cinema Therapy, where he does this interview with these guys. And he really talks about his mental health and how he's promoting mental health among people now. Because he had a very rough childhood. He ended up a heroin addict, and he freely admits that. And so one of his goals is to get people help when they need it and promote mental health, which I'm, and you and the show is all about.
We're all about mental health. I'm a mentally unhealthy person. So if you can get mentally healthy, please do. Talk to a therapist, take care of your mental health, make you a priority. And I'm glad that David Dalmalshian is doing that as well.
Yeah.
I like him. I feel like I'm an early fan. Like I'm catched on to a really big thing.
Yeah, I mean,
because he just, I don't know, like he's only had small parts, but for me, he's just enchanting in every scene he's in.
And he also writes and directs and produces.
That's cool.
So, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really notice him in Dune until I knew who he was, and then I'm like, oh.
That's, yeah.
And I went back and watched Dune 1 after
I didn't know that he was the Harkonnen Mentat until you pointed it out to me.
Yeah, because he's bald and he's got the.
And he's black very. Stripes. He's a lot. He's like very. They make him very, like, thin in this movie. Whereas, like, in Oppenheimer, he's Borden, so he's, you know, he's a little thicker, a little.
Full head of hair. Yeah. Yeah. Very striking.
He's just, yeah, he's a very striking. He's. I don't like striking guys that are just a bland, run-of-the-mill white guy. He's striking in the way that's just interesting. He's a unique striking kind of person. Yeah. He's not like, because like, sure, they're great. I love them. But like Ryan Gosling, Ryan Reynolds, those guys, like they're the same fucking copy. They're the, like
Chris Pine.
Like if I was, if I was from a different country, like if I was Asian, I would think they look the exact fucking same.
I think that's racist.
No, like, it's the same, like, you
if
know.
If I was from another country.
It's the same idea. It's plays off of so a racist. Then, if I was a racist person from a different country,
so reverse
I would
that,
not.
Go back.
Yeah, I'm playing off the idea, right? That like, racist white people usually say, like, oh, I can't tell any Asian person apart. But I have heard from other races that they have the same thing. We're like, it's hard to tell white people apart sometimes. Because we do, a lot of us. Look exactly the fucking, so we're copycat mill prints of each other.
Well, yeah.
White guys are so bland most of the time.
Yeah.
But I like David Dalmalshian. I also like him because, you know, he has the same hair color as me, and I like, you know, Black Hair Society.
Yeah.
Not enough guys have black hair anymore.
All right, racist, honey hands.
Everyone, don't throw racist into it.
I might be racist, but I didn't know you'd be. Jesus.
That's horrible. I made one joke that was from a different perspective. You guys are the racist. You can't look through different perspectives.
I gotta cancel.
You can't be racist from a different perspective. You can only be racist from this perspective.
I don't work this damn hard to have a racist son.
You don't work that hard.
I work
pretty hard. Pretty hard. But you're not a coal miner.
No, I'm not a coal miner.
You don't work on the railroad.
I'm not a coal miner's daughter.
And you're not a coal miner's... I don't know why you said that. Is that referencing something?
You don't know the song, Coal Miner's Daughter?
No.
I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter.
Are you sure it's not Farmer's Daughter?
I actually only listen to EDM.
It's Loretta Lynn. Anyway.
Yeah, I only listen to EDM music, actually.
Oop, there's a train and your window's open.
My window is open because it is a million degrees in this room for
it
some
is,
reason.
Because your moist head...
I think you might just be a pussy.
What? Jonathan, you only said that to me because I said that to you earlier because you were being a bitch and complaining.
Well, you need to air this place out anyway.
It's very aired out. It's 70 degrees in this house and somehow it feels like it's 110.
Now, we were talking about mental health and I did see a little thing today.
Okay.
That these apps are springing up. These AI-driven chatbots to help Gen Z people, you know, like, i.e. you.
Yeah.
Gen Z, honey ham, racist.
You're going to start forgetting these nicknames. They're going to drop out.
So they promote them as like online therapists, but they're just AI chatbots. And there's a lot of, they're not FDA approved because they don't do diagnosis. And so a lot of therapists are like, well, it could be helpful, but they're not really doing anything but giving the person a chance to like spill their guts, and then they'll come back with a, well, you know, that's okay, that's an okay feeling. So the consensus right now is don't do that. Go see a real therapist.
Go see an actual therapist. Go see someone who has been trained in the actual professional practices that are meant and designed to help you reach a good.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, they can't afford to go to a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But there are online therapists that...
Yeah, there's... I'm not going to say any of them. Well, I will, because even though they're not sponsoring us and giving us money, but there's, like, BetterHelp and, like, that stuff like that.
Yeah. And you can do that, and you can do, like, Zoom calls, or you can just do a phone call.
Yeah, it can be, a phone call, a Zoom call, just like an hour meeting a week.
Yeah, you don't have to get in a room, go somewhere, get in a room, and talk for an hour.
And that and a concept.
You can do it on your own terms and still get qualified help from a therapist.
I'm
about
doing it. I'm a mentally unhealthy person. In case anyone was wondering out there, I'm a mentally unhealthy person. And I'm also taking my shirt off right now because it is too hot.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't want to see that beard.
All right, well, let's take a break. While Seth takes his shirt off.
All right, well, you didn't have to announce that I was, you know,
you make said a big you were deal taking out of it. Your shirt off.
Yeah, we didn't have to pause. All right, so I'm wearing a Husker jersey.
Well, we paused because I had to pee.
So you just threw me under the bus.
Well, no, because you were taking your shirt off, and I'm like, I got to pee. This is a good time to take and a little break.
This is a good time to throw my son under the bus so I can pee.
No, I didn't throw you under the bus.
Well, I'm wearing a Husker jersey now and a tank top.
And you got rid of the sweatpants and put on some pajama pants.
They're a little looser. They're a little more breathable. I just didn't feel like putting on regular pants.
Do you feel cooler?
I do feel a little cooler.
All right.
Cooler heads will prevail this episode.
I was thinking you might spontaneously combust.
I was about to. Full sweating. I was in a panic.
Well, you didn't have drips down your
face. I was in a panic state.
You were a little moist.
I was Rudy Giuliani giving a speech in front of Four Seasons Landscaping.
Well, I don't...
That's who I was. My hair dye was straight dripping down my face.
Oh, you're going to have to use that someday.
I'm doing a skit tomorrow.
Where
I'm Rudy Giuliani. Should I? Would that be too much? Can I do a skit where I'm Rudy Giuliani? I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll put a bald cap on, and then I'll get the hair. Get it to drip, I'll just use motor oil or something to get it so it really drips. And then I'm going to give a speech about vegetables.
Okay.
Or a pro-PETA. Maybe I just give a horrible speech, but like pro-PETA speech. Fuck PETA, but like I'll give just the worst pro-PETA speech in the world.
Okay, so you didn't want to talk as much about movies, but it seems like all we're doing is talking about movies.
No, we spent the back half of last time talking about movies.
So you did have one more thing, and then I actually have another movie thing.
Okay.
Bacon.
Kevin? Kev Bake?
Yeah, he is going back. This isn't a movie.
It's not, but it has to do with one.
Yeah.
I guess.
So the high school that he shot Footloose in.
Mm-hmm.
He's going back because they're moving that high school.
Payson High School has become infrastructurally bad. It's old.
Yep.
We can relate. I went to a high school that was built in the 50s or whatever. It's getting torn down. But it coincides with the movie's 40th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, kind of as a fun thing, the school invited Kevin Bacon to their last prom.
And he said yes. The students actually, like, were begging him to come.
That's dope. That's fun. They literally, they did the hashtag Bacon to Payson campaign so that he could come to their last prom. And that's dope as fuck.
So he got on, like, something and did a live thing with them, and he's like, yeah, I will come.
They did a Footloose movie night They staged a Footloose musical and renamed the annual Mr. Payson pageant Mr. Bacon. A teacher even pitched in, assigning the students in her English class an argumentative essay persuading Bacon to come. They literally made it a part of the curriculum to write an essay to persuade Kevin Bacon to come to their prom.
And that's cool.
I love those little
stories. He's actually not going to the prom, but he is going there on prom day.
Well, that makes... He is like a 50, 60-year-old man. Like, it would be weird for him to go to prom.
To a high school.
But for him to make an appearance and maybe do some meet and greets with the students, that would be fucking
dumb. That's going
to
be really cool. Like,
so they think he's just coming for the day, right? He comes for the day. All right, bye, guys, and then shows up.
In his suit. And
And then he spikes the punch bowl.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing...
It would be cool to see him do the dance on the prom, on the floor.
Maybe he will. Maybe that's his surprise.
Or if they like redo a scene in the school, that would be cool. I really want that to happen. Now, Jonathan brought this up earlier when I brought it up to him. Should they, with they're rebuilding the school, should they name it Footloose High?
Or Kevin Bacon High?
Or Bacon High?
Bacon High?
Or Kevin Bacon High?
You know how much money you would make?
I don't think he'd make any money. I think it would just be like honoring him, like when they name a library or something after somebody.
We'll keep tabs on this and let.
I really hope they name it like Kevin Bacon High or like, you know, Footloose High School or some shit like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They have to tie it in some way. That would just be dope. If anything, he'll get a plaque for sure. He's definitely getting a plaque.
Oh yeah.
There's no way he's not getting a plaque.
Yeah, but that's cool of him to like take time out of his schedule.
Yeah, like it's not even like a huge thing. It's just like it would be kind of a cool thing to do.
Hang out, spend the day.
I just love those little stories that just let you know that there is some cool shit happening in the world. It's not all bad. There's some funny, cool, nice shit happening out there.
There is,
and Kevin Bacon's a part of it.
Yeah, it is. And another cool shit. The Neuralink guy.
Oh, I saw this.
Noland Arbaugh. He was 29, and he was paralyzed in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the Neuralink transplanted into his brain.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, he could move a mouse around the screen just by thinking about it. Then he was playing chess just by thinking about it. And now he's tweeted.
He tweeted, just using his brain.
Just using his brain.
That's fucking so dope.
And this thing could be a game changer for disabled people.
That's fucking dope.
Elon Musk is now working on something along the same lines for blind people.
Damn, that's fucking dope. It's so scary, though. I don't know.
It is. But imagine...
What if it... my fear is that it's going to start frying brains when they start trying to do cooler and cooler shit with it.
Well, we'll see.
That's too much... What if it's too much information for our nervous system to handle and process? Our brain to process?
I think our brain can process a lot of shit.
Yeah, but it's not made to do and have an extra thing attached to it. That's not what it was designed to do.
And the device that like reads that has to like... communicate with it. It actually looks pretty big and unwieldy right now.
Well, yeah, it's in its beginning computer as big as a room stage.
Yeah, but Elon Musk said even if you have never, if you were born blind, you will, it won't be perfect at first. It'll be like an 8-bit video game.
And that's based on the idea that it's able to send, like, electricity through the neurons and is able to, like, restore broken connections?
Apparently. I don't know. Oh. It's Elon Musk.
So I thought I was clarifying something that I had seen. Yeah, that's really dope. Elon Musk has done some really stupid fucking idiot shit. But this is a cool thing. I'm interested in it. I really hope it doesn't come around to bite us in the ass. I really hope it doesn't come around to start biting us in the ass.
It could, but It could be a game changer.
It's a really small thread, a really small loop to thread or whatever.
So, like, this guy who's quadriplegic,
mm-hmm.
they could, and they have exoskeletons now. Mm-hmm. They're working on. They could hook him up to that, and he could walk around and use his limbs.
Yeah, and that in and of itself is cool as fuck. The fact that there is someone who is able to play chess
and is able to interact with the internet in a way that he hasn't been able to because as a result of something that, you know, that ultimately wasn't his fault, is fucking dope. It puts people back into the game, especially because there's so many ways to earn money online. So if people are able to use the internet with this, then people who typically wouldn't be able to work would be able to.
Yeah.
Would be able to, you know, be influencers or get their voice out there. That's really fucking cool. I just hope that we don't get more and more and more ambitious and end up fucking ourselves. And well, then we become robots and then we forget who we are and then we kill people who aren't robots and, you know.
Well, that's going to happen.
It's anyway. Really fucking cool what's happening now. And I hope it keeps being really fucking awesome and good for humanity and doesn't... Are you playing Farm Animal Farm or something? Oh, okay. Jonathan's getting
okay, but this guy said... His life has already been changed.
Yeah, like that in and of itself is really dope. And I hope it keeps being so good for humanity and really dope. I'm on the optimistic side of AI. I am hesitatingly on the positive side of AI.
So good for Nolan Arbaugh.
Good for Nolan Arbaugh. Shout out Nolan Arbaugh. That was a good story. Good for you.
Yeah, I suppose. What else yet?
I don't know. Well, I didn't want to say because you fucking went away. You watched a movie last night. I gave you homework.
Yes, you did.
Was it good? Roadhouse 2.
Okay, we talked about Roadhouse 2 a long time ago.
It was coming out, yeah.
It was coming out. And I'm like, we don't need another Roadhouse.
And
we don't need a remake.
And what is Roadhouse. Your... Now you've seen it. What is your...
okay, well, first of all, you can't spoil this movie. If you've seen the first one, you've seen this movie.
Oh, that's kind of just a shot-for-shot remake?
Oh, pretty much. I mean, it's a different setting. The characters are, like...
Didn't they make Dalton an MMA fighter instead of a...
He was kind of an underground fighter. Mm. Like, he would go to these underground fight matches and pick up $500 a night.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where he was like, guys wouldn't fight him. They just like, nope, I'm done.
He was that good, yeah.
And other than that, it's pretty much the same story. Like, the love interest is a female doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They did, like, the bar owner is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The singer is a woman, which, you know, it makes it more modernized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice that they're giving more roles to women.
Yeah, good for them.
Because they're really, you know, in the 80s, there weren't a whole lot of roles for women.
Very specific roles for women. Yeah.
So, this is, it's good on that sense. But otherwise, it's pretty much just the same damn movie.
Yeah. Is it good, at least? Is it bad in the same funny way that the first one was?
No.
Because the first one's not good. But it's so bad that it is good.
It's so bad that it's good.
Yeah, it's corny and cheesy in a really fun way.
And they try and do this one, like, I don't know.
Like, what, were they, like, trying to take themselves seriously? Did they try to make it funny? Like, where did they go wrong?
They did try and throw in some comedy, but it just didn't resonate. It
didn't land?
No. And the fight scenes are longer than the first movie, but they're way over the top.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but in the first one, he does rip a guy's throat or jugular out of his throat, so...
Well, yeah, at the end. But these fight scenes are like Conor McGregor punches through a truck window.
Yeah.
That's not happening in real life.
No.
I don't care how strong you are.
I feel like there are people out there that could punch through a car window.
I don't think so.
I truly believe not for 100% there are.
Not
now, would they maybe break a knuckle or something? Maybe.
They would break their entire
but
hand.
But, like, some of these, like, world's strongest men, I don't know, man. I think maybe they could punch a window out.
No. Like, if they make these little hammers to, like, knock your window out if you get in a wreck and you're electric window won't go down.
Yeah.
So you can get out of your car. But you have to hit, like, the corner of the glass. Because that's the weakest point.
Mm-hmm.
This guy just punches straight through the middle.
Yeah, just through the tempered glass.
Yeah, that's going to break his hand.
Yeah, realistically.
Even though it's Conor McGregor and he's like huge in this movie.
He really beefed. I saw him. He beefed up jacked. In this film. Yeah.
But I mean, those guys are trading punches in the head like you wouldn't believe. And you're like, that's just not realistic.
Mm.
No one is taking that many punches to the head and not being knocked out.
Well, yeah, all the other shit they're doing is crazy, too. Did Conor McGregor do an American accent for this movie?
No, he's
full Irish?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw a clip, and it almost seemed like he was doing an American
accent.
He was
probably the best actor in it.
Conor McGregor was the best actor
in a movie
starring Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
The same Jake Gyllenhaal who was in Brokeback Mountain,
yes.
The most beautiful love story about two men that exists.
It just wasn't a good part for Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean,
he doesn't seem like a Rick Dalton. I feel like there are better actors.
Yeah.
You know who you wouldn't think, but I for some reason think would have made a great Rick Dalton?
Who?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he would have got ripped, for some reason I think he would have been a great Dalton.
I could see that.
Just like because I know that he has that bone where he can play a hard motherfucker.
But, I mean, they even did the scene where he's sitting at the bar drinking a cup of coffee and this huge bar fight's going on behind him.
And also, I just think Neil Patrick Harrison looks the most like Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, I can see that. That might be good.
If there was ever a biopic, I think Neil Patrick Harris would be good.
Yeah. It was almost... A lot of the scenes were shot by shot the same.
Yeah, that's... If you're going to remake something, like, bring something new and fun to it.
Yeah, they just put it in a different place.
Like, I like remakes that are either unofficial sequels or are, like, reimaginings. Where they're, like, they're taking the same vein, but they're, like, bringing something new to it. I like that. Because it's almost like seeing an alternate universe version of the movie. And I love that shit.
Yeah,
I like remakes for that reason. It's almost like seeing an alternate version of this, like an alternate universe version of the movie. But if I just go see the same movie with different actors,
that's pretty much what.
Stop!
This is.
I don't want to. No, that's not anything.
And it just wasn't. I'm. If I had to give it a score, I'd say, what's a bad Rotten Tomatoes score?
I don't know.
I'd say 40%. If that, I don't know. It's just not, it's not a good movie.
A 40%?
I mean, if you're a young guy and you're into, like, the adrenaline, like, because these fights are way over the top, but they're not, like, Tarantino over the top.
Well, it's still realistic. People die easy as fuck. It's just very big.
Yeah, I mean,
By the way, Late Night with the Devil has a 96%.
Damn.
For the critic score and an 83% for an audience score. So he is a celebrity now, which is good. I love David Dastmalchian. Shout out me for being an original fan. Now let's see. Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. With the Jake Gyllenhaal, not the Patrick Swayze one. Well, let's look at both. Let's see what.
Yeah, let's first see Roadhouse. No, that's Roadhouse 66.
Yeah, that's not the right one.
I want to see Roadhouse.
So, I mean, it's just they pretty much have the same characters. It's not good.
Because the Roadhouse didn't do great. It has a 41% critic score and a 67% audience score. So nothing crazy.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that because...
Critics, definitely this is not a movie for critics. It is just a silly, dumb, fun movie. Now, Jake Gyllenhaal, he, piece of shit, got a better score. 62% critic score, 57% audience score.
So it's about even.
It's about even.
But I'm going to say...
Critics liked the original... audiences liked the original more. Critics like the new one more. So
well,
it does
I think
better
that,
to
I
professional
think that's because Conor McGregor.
Maybe because Conor McGregor's in it.
And he's actually good.
He plays a compelling villain, you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
What is the shtick? Yeah, it's just another, he's a guy that doesn't like you?
He was hired by the guy that's going to take over the land that the roadhouse is on.
Yeah, same shit.
And... Yeah, Connor actually ends up killing the guy that hired him.
Mm.
And then is going, he's just an animal. And in one scene, he's walking away after their first fight, and he's like snorting like an animal, like an ape. Like,
damn, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, he was. I think Conor McGregor was the best thing about that.
That is Conor McGregor's main appeal, is that he is very animalistic. I feel like I could put a collar around his neck and give him treats and probably teach him some stuff, but I couldn't bring him around friends and neighbors.
No, no. He's a junkyard dog.
He's a junkyard dog. Freaking Conor McGregor. He horribly lost his last fight, so at least he's doing something good with movies.
Well, maybe that's why he lost his last fight.
I mean, his leg was putty.
Oh, really?
So now I'm glad at least he's jacked.
Oh, God, he got huge.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking crazy big in this movie. I didn't know that he could get that big. Moving on to other exciting things. Less exciting, more sad. If you are a nerd out there, we've taken a hit recently. In this year, Baldur's Gate 3 came out, which is a Dungeons & Dragons-based game. And essentially, it won Game of the Year. It became a phenomenon amongst D&D players and regular people alike, because it's fucking dope. It's a really good game. It won a bunch of awards.
Now, is that based on, like, a tabletop game?
It's based on... What? I just said it's a D&D... It's based off of... it takes place in Faerun, which is a setting in Dungeons & Dragons, their official setting. So Baldur's Gate is a place in Faerun. So what
D&D version are they using for this game?
No. It's based off of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
But it's a video game, so obviously it's not D&D mechanics. It gives you the feel of the D&D mechanics.
Okay.
It is a turn-based game, much like you would do during a D&D game. You do roll dice when you're, like, having a character. If, like, you're talking to somebody mm-hmm. and you want to persuade them to do something, you have to roll a dice like you would in D&D, and you add your persuasion modifier, which is just, like, how good you are at persuading somebody.
Okay, and then so that people determines. That don't know, there's, like, different rules for different...
It's in 5e, which is what this is more or less based off of, it's very simple, right? You want to do something. I want to talk to this person. I want to convince this person of this. I want to break into this. The person who's running the game, in this case, the video game, or if you're playing the game, a dungeon master, decides what category that falls into. Does that fall into trying to persuade somebody? Does that fall into acrobatics or athletics? What category does that fall into? And then... based off of your character, based off of the statistics on your character sheet, you get certain boost to those skills. So then you roll the dice, and you add that boost for that skill that the DM has decided that you're rolling for.
Yeah.
And you either pass that, you either do well enough that you're able to do what you do, and the DM or the video game describes what that means to succeed, or you fail that action, and the DM or video game describes what it means to have failed that action.
So there's set. They're set points.
In an actual video game, there has to be, of course. In a DM, in a D&D game, there's not. That's the fun of it, is you can do literally whatever you want, and the dice decide whether or not you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the freedom. But that's why people like D&D, is it's like the video game without any of the restrictions.
Okay. So what I read is that they're not going to... make any more content for this.
And that's the sad news, is that they are not making any DLCs, which people would expect them to do. Almost. That's like any big game makes a million DLCs, and they can... Like, Skyrim has been milking their game. They have republished it 3 different times.
Yeah, Fallout did
the Anniversary Edition, the Legendary Edition. They've added a million DLCs. The Anniversary Edition is straight up just stealing content from, like, modders and, like, passing it off as game material. So, like, not stealing, but you're just using mod content. So, every game does it. And they're like, we're not doing DLCs. We're also not doing a Baldur's Gate 4. This series is done. It has ended. Even though they kind of left it open at the end of the game.
From what I read, is they couldn't adapt D&D 5e how they wanted to?
The real problem is that what I've heard, and then what I've seen in every article I've read, is that they started working on a DLC for this game. They were already working on it, and they were conceptualizing ideas for more stuff.
Yeah.
And then very shortly into that process,
they realized that
there was no passion, there was no heart.
Yeah, they didn't want to do it.
They were just, these people spent 10 years making a game. It took them 10 years to make this game. They put their heart and soul into it. And then they did it, and it became, they didn't even think it was going to be as big as it was. It became a sensation. And yeah, they felt like they were expected to make more. And then they went back, and it just wasn't the heart and soul. Well,
they made like $90 million off of it.
They made enough that they can now, there aren't even, Larian has made other games like Divinity Original Sin is very popular.
Kevin Larian?
I don't think it, I'm just made it, my name might be Kevin Larian. I
think it is.
So they're just going to, they're making a new game, apparently. They're going to make it, I've heard that they're going to make it, they're like designing the game for specifications that aren't like, it can't be run by like current gen consoles. Like any like gaming console that's currently on the market would not be powerful enough to run the game that they're making because they want to make it for the next thing.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, well, I guess we'll see the next Larian game in 2034. So.
Yeah, probably.
Which makes me upset.
From what I heard, when he came back from his vacation and decided, yeah, we don't have a passion for this. And he told his team, and they're like, yeah, we don't either. Thank you. They applauded. They're like, yeah, let's put this one to bed. Because we don't want to keep doing it.
Yeah, and so Baldur's Gate is officially over after 3 installments. It is a trilogy, I suppose. And we will get something else. We'll see you in 10 years, Larian.
Well, I think in 10 years they can come up with something really cool.
I hope so, but, you know, they better. They goddamn better. No, they did a great job.
I know Xbox is or Microsoft is coming out with a handheld. Xbox is coming out with a new console. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. We'll see.
Of course they are. They always are.
Is that all you have?
I guess it's all I have. You don't have anything else fun to talk about? You don't like talking to me?
Well, I love talking to you. What are you going to talk about? You want to talk about climate change?
No! All right, show's over. We're done with the episode.
Because, you know, climate change isn't a thing.
Don't ever say that. Come on. What are you doing? You're trying to clickbait?
Well, I mean, people say it's not a thing. It's not. There's no climate change.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Except the glaciers are disappearing.
Yeah, glaciers are gone. They've been gone.
And now, they've done a recent study that plants aren't able to grow where they're used to growing.
Why?
Because climate change.
Okay, why did you... I said I don't want to talk about this. Why are you bringing this up?
We won't have corn in Nebraska in 10 years.
Fun. That's really fun for this fun-based podcast to talk about.
Okay, how long can you go without sleeping?
I could go forever. I've never actually, you know... Have you ever seen me sleep? That's the question.
Yeah, I have.
Nah.
Like, almost every night.
I was faking it. That's weird. What, you come in and watch me sleep?
Well, I come in, check in, make sure you're not dead.
That's weird. I'm always dead. I've been dead since 1984.
Okay, breathing.
So how's it going? What are you talking about? How long have you gone without sleeping?
Ooh.
I think I've gone maybe... I like staying up a day. I do like... all-nighters. It gives you a fun feeling if you stay up for like 25, 26 hours.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
But apparently I've looked into it that people have stayed up really long.
Yeah, the record is 11 days and 25 minutes.
Fuck that.
But then you came up with a guy...
I read something about Paul Kearns in World War One.
Who was shot in the head.
Who was shot in the head and didn't sleep for 40 years for the remainder of his life. Was just no longer able to sleep. And I'm very curious about that. Because I wasn't able to find a lot of information about that. I don't know if it's a rumor, if it's factually accurate, if there's like some... Maybe he like half slept and he was like, his brain was still kind of active, but he was sleepy. I don't know.
I have to do more research.
But it sounds fucking... I don't think that someone could not sleep for 40 years.
You wouldn't think so, because...
This guy like started... this guy for 11 days started like seeing shit, right?
Yeah, he was a 17-year-old American, Randy Gardner, in 63. He went 11 days and 25 minutes.
God damn, dude.
And I don't... I really don't... It doesn't say whether that was on purpose.
It never goes into detail whether or not it was an... Well, it must have been, because Guinness World Records was able to capture it. They have to be there in order to capture the thing, don't they?
I think it was on purpose.
But he was 17 years old when he did it, which is fucking weird.
There's a couple other guys that have claimed to have beaten this time, but none of them were studied like Gardner was.
Yeah, and he slept for like 14 hours afterwards, which is really not that much.
But if you don't sleep, especially for 11 days...
That has to fuck you up somehow. But apparently he was fine. Apparently he was okay. He recovered.
Okay, he was observed the entire time by a person...
Well, you have to have a medical staff on hand for that, right? Like, to not sleep for 11 days? Because I heard, like, he was hallucinating and shit, like, straight up.
Yeah, he experienced side effects, including impairment of his cognitive and sensory abilities. He didn't consume any stimulant drugs to keep himself awake, but did have people around him to distract him from falling asleep. So this was a
purposeful thing. It's almost like they were doing it. They wanted to see what would happen if you stayed up really long.
When the experiment ended, Gardner had been awake for 264 hours and 25 minutes.
God damn, dude.
He then had 14 hours of sleep before waking up to use the bathroom. That's just crazy.
Nuts. And he said he felt groggy afterwards, but not, you know, really more groggy than typical after waking up after a long sleep.
The long-term side effects of lack of sleep can be very serious. Lab rats deprived of sleep die within a month.
Yeah, those are rats. I get it. They have a similar genetic makeup or whatever to us. But there's no way that in this many circumstances, fucking rats act that similar to us.
Yeah.
Is it just like seeing how it reacts to a living thing? Like to a thing that has, like to a mammal? Because there's no, like obviously human beings react differently to many things than rats. We were able to build fucking cities, and you don't do that by being the exact same as a fucking rat.
Well, we use rats and mice because...
Because they're a thing with fur and a brain and tits and like that.
They're kind of similar in a way.
They're a mammal. That's the only thing I can think of. I've done no research on it.
Anyway, there is a hereditary disease called fatal familial insomnia, where people lose their ability to sleep.
And then what happens?
They die in 3 months.
They die in 3 months.
Yeah. So this thing about the guy not sleeping for 40 years.
So did he not sleep for 40 years?
I'm not buying that.
Well, it's obviously not confirmed, or otherwise the world record would say 40 years. So who really knows?
Are you looking him up?
I'm looking up Paul Kearns. Says he was in World War I, and he was shot in the head. Paul Kern, the man who did not sleep for 40 years. Now, I am not seeing any solid source for this. Here's the sources I'm getting. Medium, which I write for, jpmoss.com, Unilad, Reddit, Sofrep, ScoopWhoop, warhistoryonline.com. Finally, the like 10th result is his Wikipedia article that has no information on it. So, I'm going to say this probably isn't real at all. This didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not, without even reading these articles, I will read them, and if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But just blanket instinction, this is a fucking made-up nonsense.
I would say so. So, if you can't sleep, drink a bunch of beer or something, and pass out.
Or stay up for a day and see how you feel.
Or you could.
Shit gets really fun after 25, 26 hours. But then I usually have to go to bed. I've heard of people who just like, because it's almost like a drug without having to take drugs. And it sounds weird and fucked up. But it's like, you do kind of feel very fun and floaty and like just kind of loose.
Euphoric.
But if you go too far, you start to hallucinate and you start, you know, shit starts to look really weird. Time starts to slow down. I don't like it. So don't do more than a day.
No. Don't even do that.
But maybe do a day.
Yeah, it's harmful to you.
Maybe do a day.
But I think we're probably about, what, an hour? Hour and a half?
Yeah, I guess. I thought maybe we'd go for 6 hours tonight, but I guess you're not feeling that. So thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate you very much.
So what's your nickname?
My nickname is Doghouse Diddy. Big nose. I don't have a big nose. Sultry Seth.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
Seth.
We'll figure it out.
No, we're figuring this out. Seth, the god of the underworld?
No.
That's, you know, Seth from Egyptian, you know.
No, that's not going to work. We'll figure it out.
No, if you don't figure it out, then I'll never have a nickname for the rest of my life. I gave you an assignment today, Dad. What's my nickname?
Honey Hands.
That's a bad nickname.
Well, that you pushed me. I had to go with it.
That's a bad nickname. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please follow us on all of our socials.
I am Scott. And Seth and Scott. He is Honey Hands.
So our handle is at Seth and Scott at speakeasy. We're Seth and Scott. Jesus Christ, speakeasywithsethandscott.com. You got me all flustered because you just spoke right over me when I was doing the thing. We'll see you guys next week. Say something fun, Dad.
Confused Honey Hands.